Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you today by Connected Women of Influence. I am Deanna Potter, your petite powerhouse, and the host of Sassy Sales and Business Development. And with me today is our leading lady, and that is Sherry Berry. And I am so thrilled to welcome her today. She is the founder and owner of Visage Pro USA. Goodness, I swear I'm going to get this right. And our topic for today is making money and magic in the world of research and development. Welcome this morning, Sherry. Thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Deanna.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. So those of us who are listening in this morning, I'm just going to come out and say it. When I think of hot, sexy topics, I'm not always thinking research and development. I got to tell you, Sherry, I'm going to be honest. But I know for you, you love this stuff. It curls your toes. I know you because when I know that I know this from a couple of things. First off, you and I have friends. We have friends like Michelle Berquist, and I recently spent some time over the weekend with Stephanie Blue, and I know that you've had some conversations recently. She tells me how passionate you are about what you do. And I know when I think about research and development, I think about things like biotech companies and pharmaceutical corporations, because I think our society and our media really kind of tends to focus in on those industries most. Yet what you do, I think, is way cooler. The industry that you're in is something that I just don't think of. And I think it's because for most people, when I started to, you know, look at our topic and what we were going to be talking about today, I really didn't wrap my brains around everything we use every day has to have some element of research and development behind it. Is that true?
That's true. In skincare, in sexy skincare, it all has to be formulated. You know, you have to have a recipe for it. Just like when you bake a cake, you've got to have the recipe for it, and it's got to work out.
And you are in that sexy skincare business. So I am really excited about what we're going to be talking about today, because I think that for most of us who pick up our favorite sexy skincare product and use it, we have no appreciation whatsoever of what it takes for it to go from an idea and a thought or a dream and a passion to what it takes to really end up on the counter in front of us early in the morning or late at night when we use it every day. And you are one of the amazing individuals in the industry, let alone a woman in this industry, that really makes it happen. So I'm so excited to have you here today to talk about this. So,
thank you so much.
Yeah, and I got to tell everybody how we met. So you're one of those famous ladies that now is one of those special people that's in a small group who is a official Sue talker. Is that true?
That is true.
So for those who are listening in who have never heard of a Sue talk, you've heard of those other talks. Well, here in Southern California, there is a series of what we call Sue talks, and they are specific to women leading in business. And you just were in the local San Diego annual event down in here in May, and you actually kicked off the event, which I hear is a pretty coveted spot to be. Is that also correct?
That is correct, and it was a wonderful privilege to be able to share some philosophies and theories and ideas that we do in our business, and especially that I do in leading the company and leading employees, and it was so much fun to do that talk. It's a great platform.
What was the title of your talk?
It was called Kindness, the Modern Shift in Successful Leadership.
Tell me just real briefly, kindness, what is that all about in leadership?
Well, especially with women, you know, as I pointed out in my talk, throughout the years, we have been taught that there's no other way to lead and to manage people and to be in that upper echelon without being the kind of like Devil Wears Prada leader that's maybe a little abrasive or condescending, you know, a little bossy. And but what we found in our company that we don't really need those qualities to be able to successfully lead as a woman. We can lead with kindness and still be very empowering and unstoppable.
So I love the idea. I love the concept of it. Kindness. So that sometimes can be, I'm fearful when as a leader that if I'm kind, I'm going to kind of get walked over.
Right. And that's not really the true definition of kindness, because kindness isn't weakness. Kindness isn't meaning that you're agreeing with everybody, that you're cowering or that you're being influenced. Kindness is strong. Kindness is decisive, and it lets people know where they stand. It's never mean. It never gets its point across mean, but it gets its point across in a very strong but kind way. And that's the way we lead our company.
Wow. Wow. Where did you originally start to hone in on this type of leadership? Where did that come from?
Well, actually it came from my dad. He was kind of my role model in my life. He was a leader of kindness in a construction company in Michigan. And it was a very tough time at that time.
Did you say construction?
Construction, yeah.
Wow.
He was construction.
Wow.
He built high-rises in Detroit.
A kindness leader in construction. That seems like a little bit of an oxymoron, I got to tell you, Sherry.
Yeah, it does. Because, you know, in the construction world, especially at that time in Detroit in the 60s, there was a lot of racial hatred. It was right before the assassination of Martin Luther King. And so it was very hard to have this kindness leadership philosophy with all of that going on. But he managed to do it in a construction crew with these, you know, massive burly men that were tough guys. He managed to make them understand that if they all got along and shook hands when they were on site, that they could get things done quickly, efficiently. They could save time and save money, and they could excel at their jobs. And when they excel at their jobs, they excel in their positions. And when they do that, they get promotions. He got that through in their heads, and he was able to do that at a very difficult time in history in the construction industry.
Wow. Wow. That had to be, especially at that time, because I still think that it is not common even for us today, but at that time and in that industry, to be leading with the idea of kindness and still be able to get results and maintain respect and to work at such an efficient pace. I mean, that was a time of great evolution in industrial movement. Am I correct?
Yeah, you are. And it wasn't an easy thing. I mean, kindness doesn't mean you don't fire people, you know. Somebody's not on board with your philosophy, you have to kindly let them know, and you have to do it in a firm way. So so that happened too. You know, you have to, you stand your ground and you make people pay attention to your kind principles, and they have to conform or they have to find another place to go.
Wow. Wow. Well, I happen to know that your business, first tell me before we get ahead of ourselves, how did you get into the industry and world of research and development and R&D, and in particular the computer?
Okay. I'm going to make this story as short as I possibly can.
You've been doing this for, first off, how long have you been doing this?
11 years in skincare.
Okay, so we want to know in 11 seconds how you've been doing this for 11 years.
Okay. All right. So all my life I've been in nutritional therapy. I learned nutritional therapy under a kinesiologist in Michigan. I was her protege. And so I understood the effects of therapeutic levels of what you would call physician-grade nutritional elements. And I worked with a lot of brands, Box Flower, Standard Process, and so on and so forth. And a friend of mine, who's now my partner, owned a brand that made a fabulous cream for burns. It was an all-natural, wonderful cream that had an effect upon burns. All of our circle, all of his friends had a bottle of it in our medicine cabinets. Of course, I had one too. I didn't know that I was going to desperately need it one day. And then in 2006, I had an explosion in my backyard. It was a bonfire gone wrong. And instead of using lighter fluid to stoke this fire, we actually used jet fuel, not knowing. And yeah, and an explosion happened. All the glass shattered. The patio furniture was on fire, and I was sitting on the patio furniture, so I was on fire.
Oh, my goodness.
So the first thing I did was I grabbed this cream that I had never used before, but there it was. Time to use it. It relieved the pain. It healed my skin so beautifully. I went to my friend and I said, I got to represent this cream. This is amazing. I mean, you know, Deanna, as well as I do, that when we touch shoulders with the very real possibility of being disfigured, you begin to look at life differently. Mm-hmm. And you begin to see how cosmetic appearance affects our daily life, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
And there are medical creams out there for medical conditions. There's hundreds of thousands of creams out there for superficial things like anti-aging. We see it all day long. But I really saw a white space in the need for skin care that addresses the needs of things in between those things. I mean, like, take a scar. A scar is not a medical condition, but it's not a superficial wrinkle. A scar can actually affect a person's self-confidence. It can make them shy.
Yes.
You know, same with a huge dark pigmentation spot. It's not a medical condition. It's not a wrinkle, but it affects us. And there are amazing, and I know this from being a nutritional therapist, there are amazing key ingredients out there now, from peptides to plant stem cells and extracts that have been clinically tried to truly and noticeably reduce the appearance of these types of things. And that experience, that explosion and that burn led me to want to make functional products with these clinical levels of key ingredients that address these things. And so today, you know, fast forward to today, my company, Visage Pro, I know you tried to pronounce it, it's actually called Visage Pro.
Thank you. I will practice. Oh, it's French. No wonder I can't pronounce it. I got it. Visage Pro.
And
yes.
And it's not like we make things only for the face. We make things for the body too. But anyway, one thing led to another. Today, my company has formulated over 100 recipes and formulations for skincare. We private label, and we continue to custom formulate all day long. So that's the story.
It's a powerful story. I had no idea. And I feel like through your Sue Talk, I know so much about you, and yet I am in awe of the fact that I had no idea about this regarding your company and that's part of your journey. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, so tell me when this started. It's a family business. Your kids work with you, correct?
So my daughter is my COO, Chelsea, and she has quality control. She has her finger on everything. So she is one of my employees. My daughter owns a marketing company, and a lot of the time we use her for creative design. My son and I actually own another company together that he runs, and he brings all of the requests for skincare that people want extremely special ingredients in. So I do that for him. So, yeah, it's all very intertwined.
So talk to me from a business development standpoint and from a standpoint of strategic planning, business planning, those types of things. When you said, this is a passion, this works, I believe in this product, and I see the benefit of me taking this and building off of this into a larger vision of a company. Talk to me about how that grew and how you started things and how they changed.
Well, in the beginning, back in 2006, I literally went door to door with my Rolly cart. I literally knocked on spas, medical spas, salons, doors, showing them the products, showing them some befores and after pictures, making small sales here and there. Then the sales started growing. I started making more recipes, more formulations for things, and they would reorder those. Then I hired a salesperson. It grew very, very organically, and it was hard work. I was a workaholic, I got to tell you. I knocked on doors from morning till night until I made people aware that these wonderful creams were out there. And then we got our website. We got a little more savvy with marketing and how to drive traffic to the website. Then we started getting referrals, and now we have a really nice sales team nationwide. We have what we call our corners in our business. We have our creative corner. They do all the artwork for the labels and the packaging. We have our operations corner. They do all the quality control, make sure everything gets done right. We have our R&D corner. That's where all our formulations are made. I call it our alchemy corner. And really, you know, you had mentioned the word magic. It's like in all of those corners, there's magic that happens that makes this company run correctly.
Got it. So which is your favorite corner for you personally?
Oh, hands down, the R&D. Hands
really?
Down. I do like the creative corner because I'm kind of an artsy-fartsy person, but I love R&D. I love formulation. I love learning about the next best breakthrough ingredient that's out there and experimenting with it in our little R&D lab, putting the hairnet on and the gloves and the lab coat and all of that.
You're a little bit of a lab rat.
I'm a lab rat. I am. It's my passion. I do it in my kitchen. And it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
So when you say your creative corner, that's where your marketing and all of those things take place, correct?
That's correct. We have a program called Ready to Label. If I could just touch on that for a second.
Yeah, please do.
Okay, so one of the things that I noticed, another white space, when I was assisting this kinesiologist in Michigan in her wellness clinic way back when, one thing that was very frustrating for a small clinic is that their hands are tied when it comes to being able to offer a patient the products they need because the manufacturer requires such a large order from a wholesaler. And these small clinics, they don't have shelf space, they don't have stock room, they don't have the money to invest in large orders. And I found the same is true in skincare. Let's say you wanted to brand your own skincare, Deanna Potter Skincare. You'd have to order at least 5,000 bottles to get the price point you need to be competitive and about 55 gallons of lotion. And it's impossible for small businesses to brand their own skincare that way.
Yeah.
And it's really sad because they put so much money into branding their companies, you know, their signage, their marketing, their website, you know, their business cards, but they're forced to sell somebody else's branded skincare products. So I thought, we need to change this. We need to get it to where the small guy can brand their own skincare product. So it took us a couple of years. We worked with our vendors and our suppliers that we had established relationships with, and we carved out this program that we call Ready to Label so that anybody can choose one of 50 cosmeceutical grade products. They can choose one out of 6 template designs for packaging. We drop in their logo, and all they have to buy is 24. That's it.
24. Wow.
And they have their own brand. It's theirs. They're awesome formulas, by the way, at a price that competes on the market, and they can make way more profit selling their own brand than somebody else's brand. And we just launched it this year And we did a lot of beta testing on it. And I have to say there are a couple of clients that beta tested it with us that endured our little tweaks that we had to tweak to get it right.
Yeah.
And this year we've launched it, and we're really excited to be able to offer it to all those mom-and-pop spas and anybody who wants to brand their skincare, put it on Amazon. You know, it's bada bing, bada bang.
Wow. Now, are you aware of anyone else doing this type of ready-to-label approach in the market?
There are a couple of companies out there that are starting to offer smaller minimums, but the problem is the packaging. Packaging can be so complicated. The designing of it, understanding how packaging design works, understanding how FDA cosmetic compliance works when writing claims on your packaging, compatibility, making sure that your particular lotion will pump out of this particular bottle. That's a big deal. And so we take care of all of that. It's a one-stop shop. So a customer doesn't have to worry about any of that.
Wow. Wow. This is amazing. Absolutely amazing. And how long, can I ask you, how long were you in development of this ready-to-label line?
We started back in November of 2014 to get this ready.
Wow.
We had to make sure that all of the products were stable, that they worked with the components. We had to negotiate price points for all the components. We had to negotiate minimum orders from our vendors and get them to agree to it. So
sure,
it took a while, you know, to establish these relationships. Yeah.
What a vision. Wow. And tell me, when it comes to going, wrapping back around to the kindness in leadership, I'm assuming that you have found that kindness in partnering, collaboration, and negotiation is also effective? Or do you find...
Oh, yeah.
So that's a theme for you in all that you do?
Oh, yeah, everything. It's not just the way we handle our own company in-house with employees. We use the kindness philosophy with our vendors and suppliers, with our customers, with our colleagues. I don't know if you heard of Dan Pink. He has done some YouTubes on how to manage people, but he did this one YouTube on how people thrive when they have three things: autonomy, mastery, and purpose. And I've always kept that in mind when negotiating with vendors and suppliers and trying to establish this ready-to-label program. Autonomy, mastery, and purpose. People want autonomy. They want to own their own position. They just want to have ownership of what they do. They want mastery over it. They want to know that they're the expert in it. And when they do those two things and they do it well, it gives them purpose, and they love what they do. And so this is kind of how I've been running our relationships, not only in-house with our employees, but with vendors too. Of course, I have a finger on everything. But when people love what they do, for instance, salespeople, they love to sell. They don't like paperwork, spreadsheets. They don't like sitting behind computers. They love people. Compounders like to mix. So we make sure that everybody is doing what they love to do. We at Visage Pro, we take care of the formulation. We go into our R&D lab. I work with the chemist, and we make the recipe. We have our creative corner, making the packaging, designing it for our customers. We have our operations that make sure that all of those things on all of the levels of that takes place. Then we have our compounder and our filler, because that's what they love to do best, compound it and fill it. And as long as everybody and every department feels autonomy, they feel like they're expert at what they're doing, and it gives them purpose, then it's like the company runs really, really lean and really efficiently, because everybody's not kind of sticking their nose in everybody else's business trying to do what they don't know how to do best.
So let me ask you this, because I'm thinking about the vendors that you work with and the outside relationships. so often, unfortunately, in our world, I know that I have had this experience with over 20 years of owning businesses and being in a variety of situations. I'm sure you've experienced this. Unfortunately, not everyone shares the mindset that you do or I do. They can still be great at what they do. They can be good, honest business owners, but perhaps their approach to or attitude towards business maybe is just a little bit more cut to the chase, cutthroat, get in, get out. Doesn't mean that they're not good business people. Doesn't mean that they're not reliable. Doesn't mean that they might not offer the best product or get the job done. And do you find that sometimes it you can approach from the kindness standpoint, but it can still be wearing on you and your team because businesses out in the world just don't necessarily come from that place.
They don't. And by far they don't. The majority don't. They are cut to the chase. And it, and sometimes it does become wearing, and sometimes it becomes sour. And that's why it took us over 2 years to develop this with the vendors and suppliers that we have. One thing that I find really, really important is looking into somebody's eyes. I have to meet with them regularly, and I have to look into their eyes, and they have to look into mine. Because there is this human condition that exists that when you see somebody face to face and you see that they're doing the best that they can in you, you feel their sincerity, you feel their vibe, it makes a huge difference. And that connection, it stays true. And the longer that you, the longer span that you have in meeting with somebody face-to-face and looking into their eyes, the more risk there is of the relationship becoming wearing and even going sour. So, you know, it's like, and that's hard now. It's really hard because most communication is written, email, text.
Yeah. Yep.
And we lose that, but I will not lose that in my company, with my suppliers, my vendors, my salespeople meet with their customers regularly. They're training them. They're motivating them. You've got to look into people's eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it's funny that you say that, and you know this from kind of our interactions in the past. I'm big on video meetings because it's the best I can do nowadays in the society that we operate in, where everybody's email and everybody's conference calls. And I'll go, you know, will you do a video call? Because at least I can, even through that technology, see the person, get their body language. We can laugh. I can feel a little closer to somebody and get a feel for them a little bit better. And it's at least it's, you know, some sort of a bridge over where we've become, you know. So I absolutely
agree
with
you.
It's true. Yep. It is true. So two questions as we wrap up here. First one is, as a woman leader in business, what is one of the biggest challenges that you run into on a daily basis?
For me, it's being a workaholic. That's my personal. I don't know if it has anything to do with being a woman. I don't know if that's it. But my thing is I'm a workaholic, I have to admit. I
sent you an email this weekend and you responded in 30 seconds. I was like, oh boy. So I can see it. I can see it.
I know.
But you're not the only one, just so you know, because I'm the one that sent you the email on the weekend. So we, you know. So that's okay. And then finally, can you tell me if there's anyone that's listening in that would love to contact you, either to learn more about just your leadership philosophy, hear more about your business, ask some questions? What's the easiest way for our listeners to get in touch with you, Sherry?
Yeah, go to our website at Visage, and that's V-I-S-A-G-E, it's French for face, visagepro.usa.com. I can be emailed at sberry, B-E-R-R-Y, at visagepro.usa.com. You can easily email info@visagepro.usa.com and you'll get me as well.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Sherry, for joining us today. We very much appreciate it. And to let everyone know, our leading lady, we actually have shows that take place Monday at 9 a.m. and Fridays at 2 p.m. Our leading lady for Friday, July 14th, will be Sahar Andrade, CEO of Sahar Consulting, and the topic will be unconscious bias. I want to thank everyone for listening in today. Have a great week, and thank you so much.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.